Praise the Lord. Well, we are certainly wishing every mom in the house here tonight a very happy Mother's Day. You can tell it's a special day because, praise the Lord, because people are beeping in the parking lot. Praise the Lord. And so, not sure if maybe somebody might have sat on their key fob. Well, that's all right. There we go. There's the winner. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there you go. Praise God. And so it's happened to us all, right? Amen. But yeah, it's a very special weekend. Again, mothers, we love you. We're just so grateful to you. You know it's a special day when I break out the pink shirt. And so, yeah, there we go. We're ready to have church here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yeah, turn with me. Go with me in your Bibles. Go over to Hebrews chapter 13. And tonight, we're going to call this message, Grace is Upon Us All. Grace is upon us all. And let's hope that's the truth, right? Amen. Let's hope that we're walking in the grace that the Lord has provided for us. Over the last several weeks, well, I guess the last 3 weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages on the grace of God, what God's grace is, what God's grace is not. And we saw in the Word of God, it said over there in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8, it says, for by grace are we saved. Is there anyone here tonight that you're saved by grace? And it said that we're saved by grace to do good works that the Lord has prepared in advance for us to do. And so we saw this, is that grace, when God's grace is active in your life, it's going to get you moving. Amen. It's going to get you doing something for the Lord. You know, we see a modern definition of grace that is not biblical, and it kind of gives the impression that you don't have to do anything for the Lord. Or, you know, grace can be misinterpreted sometimes that, you know, it's just God's willingness to overlook sin or God's just acceptance of sin. No, how many of you know God's no more willing to accept sin now than He ever was? He gave a greater price in the New Testament to save us from sin. Amen. And the Bible says over there, we looked at, you know, several of these verses over the last couple of weeks. But over there in Romans 6:14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under law, but under grace. Grace is not an excuse or a license to sin. Grace is the love for God that will inspire us not to sin against Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we said this, when the resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes real to you, when God's grace captures your heart because of His undeserved act of compassion, it'll stir you and move you to live a life of gratitude for Him, to pay Him back, so to speak. You know what I mean by that? Of course, we can never pay the Lord back for all that He gave us, but we have a heart and a desire to obey Him, to follow Him, to pursue Him, and to please Him all the days of our life. Amen? Grace does not mean we just take it easy and get nonchalant with God. Grace means we give Him our best. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we saw this last week that we're going to need this grace because the Bible says that in the end days, perilous times shall come. And it said men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And it says that they will have a form of godliness but deny the power to change. Or literally, they'll deny that they need to be changed in the light of God's Word. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if the gospel gets into your heart, it's going to change you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We cannot say, well, I want godliness, I want Christ, I want fire insurance, but I don't want to change. Grace, when grace gets a hold of your heart, you want to change. You want to do something for God. You want to be active. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we've been talking about. We're going to revisit some of those themes here tonight. Go over to Hebrews 13. We're going to go right to verse 9. This is a verse that keeps showing up. And so we're going to just go right to it. And here in Hebrews chapter 13, the author of Hebrews, you know, of course, is the Holy Ghost. But he's letting us know that he was dealing with these Jews here back in the early days of the New Testament, and they were being tempted to fall back into the works of the Old Testament law. And so that's why he says this, and he says something very important about grace. He says this, be not carried about with diverse, or literally that word diverse there, it means divergent. divergent. Be not carried about with divergent and strange doctrines. Boy, right there, that would help a lot of people. How many of you know we don't want to accept divergent doctrines? If it's divergent from the Word of God, then we don't want it. And I'll tell you what, grace is one of those things, unfortunately, that if we're not careful, there is a perverted definition of grace going around the body of Christ today. Like I said, it's this idea that you can sin and God will be okay with it. It's this idea that you don't ever have to confess your sin as a Christian. I'm here to tell you, even as a believer, if you sin against God, you should confess that sin before the Lord, right? We have 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of that unrighteousness. Aren't you glad? You know, have you ever had to confess your sin as a believer? Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's an idea floating around the body of Christ that, you know, you can sin, and because you're under grace, you don't need to confess your sin. You could just have it your way. You know, God will just be accepting of it. No, He's not. And we got to be careful. That's a divergent doctrine. That's a doctrine that is diverging from the Word of God. And it goes on to say, for it is a good thing. Everyone say, good thing. It is a good thing that your heart be established with what? Grace. And he goes on to say, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Remember, he's talking to Jews. And remember, in the Old Testament, the Jews were forced to abide by a dietary regimen. Remember, there were certain meats that they could eat and ones that they could not eat. And remember, it had to be prepared a certain way. And, you know, there was all those restrictions. And see, what he's saying here is that there were these Jews that they had fallen into just the ritual or the routine of those requirements. Their relationship with the Lord had, fallen into a place where they were just trying to know God through ritual or routine. Folks, how many of you know you cannot have a relationship with God just through ritual or routine? How many of you know it's got to be deeply personal to us? And folks, the reason why this is in the New Testament is because the author of Hebrews is warning Christians that that very thing could happen to us if we're not careful. The next thing you know, we become, a minister, a friend of ours coined this term, you become a professional Christian. You know, a professional Christian. And what that means is, we might look the part, we show up to church, we sing the songs, we go through the ritual, we go through the routine, but then we have no personal relationship with the Lord. We're just going through the motions. Folks, how many of you know we cannot go through the motions? And this is why the author of Hebrews says this. He says, it is good that your heart be established by grace. Grace is when the resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes real to you, and God's character starts to become visible in your life. Amen. And so he's saying, listen, you can't just go through a routine or just live a ritual. Christians, if we're not careful, all of a sudden we just have the ritual. We just show up to church. We, pay our tithes. We sing the songs. We might even serve in the church. We do all this and that. And we might have the ritual of it. We might have the routine of it. But what God's looking for is a personal relationship. Amen. That's what he's looking for. And we got to be careful. You know, we don't want to be a professional Christian where we just look the part, play the part. You know what I'm saying about that? The way, I feel like the Holy Ghost, gave this illustration to me is I don't want to be an extra like in a TV show or a movie. Do you know what an extra is? You know what an extra is? You know, you've seen TV shows or movies, and maybe there is a movie scene in a restaurant, and there'll be the main actors that are having a conversation. But in the background, all the extras, they're just pretending to do something normal. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, or if they're out on a city street, there's a bunch of people walking behind them. They're just extras. See, the extras are those that play no significant role. All right. They're just in the background. They're just, you know, biding their time. They were just hired to be there. Folks, if we're not careful, we can be like extras, you know, in a TV show or in a movie, where next thing you know, we start to drift into the background and we're not doing anything of substance or significance for the Lord. Folks, I don't know about you. I've made a decision. I'm not going to be an extra. I want to play a significant role in what God is doing. Amen. I want to be privy to divine assignments. You know, when there's an opportunity to serve in the house of the Lord, I want to participate in that. Yeah. Folks, that's how I discovered that I was a pastor. It was just being in the house of the Lord, and whatever was needed, I would just tell my pastors, you know, whatever you need. And that started to open the door for what God would have for me ultimately. Amen. I want God to trust me with assignments. If someone needs prayer, I want to be on the front line with the Lord that He can give me that assignment. You know, I want to build God's kingdom with Him. I want to be a contributor, both financially. I want to be a contributor in service and working. I want to build the kingdom of God. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus wants to build His church. Jesus wants to see His church, you know, be successful and prevail. Amen. I want to help my leadership. I want to help my pastors. I want to help the local church. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to just be playing a role in the background, just looking like I'm doing something normal. There's a huge temptation for Christians to become like that. Just hang out in the background, you know, when there's no real divine assignment, you know, that they're participating in. Oh, they sit there, they don't get involved, they don't want to grow God's kingdom. Folks, be careful. We don't want to, you know, be that way. Amen. Praise the Lord. When there's an opportunity to do something for God, I want to play a significant role for Him. And not because I'm a pastor, not because it's my job, it's because grace has captured my heart. Has grace captured your heart? Well, amen. You're in the house of the Lord on a Saturday night. On a beautiful evening, I trust there's some grace working in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is something, the reason why I'm saying all this, there's something that the Lord would have me to share. This was a word that the Lord gave to me earlier this week. I shared it in our Jamestown midweek service. I'm going to share it here tonight. I'm going to share it again tomorrow morning in Jamestown, just as many times as I feel the Lord would direct me to say it. Here's why all this matters. Are you ready? Yeah. This is why you can't just be an extra. You don't want to just be a spectator. All right. Here's what the Lord said to me to share with you. And this is going to be for, you know, maybe every single one of us, maybe a few of us, you know, whoever, you know, we'll know when it's for you, right? Meaning you'll know in your heart. I just say it's for me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But this is what the Lord wanted me to say. The Lord has a more significant role for you, but there's a holdup or a delay. The hindrance or delay is coming from the area of spiritual excellence. There will not be any forward progress in that area until we've confronted the lack of spiritual excellence in these areas of our life. You know, the Lord is just trying to, you know, tell His people, He's got a more significant role for you. He's got something bigger for you to do. You know, and sometimes, you know, it is the mercy of God not to put us right into the plan that He has for us. Because if we go somewhere that we're unprepared for, I mean, if we get thrust into a role that we're not prepared for, it can hurt our life. It can, you know, destroy our life if we're not careful. So it is the goodness of God to let us know, hey, I've got more for you, but there's some things in the way. You know, and those things that are in the way are in the area of spiritual excellence. Or you could say it this way, obedience, serving God, you know, or things that He's put in your heart to do that are undone, or maybe we're seeking other things more than we're seeking Him. There's just things that need to be taken care of before God can move you forward. You do not want to get somewhere prematurely and go into a position that God called you to unprepared. Amen. The Lord has a more significant role for us. Amen. That's good news. That's God saying, I want to use your life. I want to give you greater influence. I want you to bring more souls into the kingdom. Amen. I want you to build my church. Hallelujah. All right. So tonight I'm going to give you three things you need to know about grace in order to get to that point. Right? Here's what we need to know. All right. Go with me in your Bibles. Flip on over to 2 Peter. Actually, you're just a few pages away there in Hebrews. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. And like I said, tonight we're going to give you three things that we need to know if you're going to play a bigger role in God's plan. Amen. If you want to step up from being an extra, not saying that you are. I don't know about you. I don't want to be an extra. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, I have this little thing, you know, speaking of that, I wasn't planning on saying this, but you know, sometimes if I see like a TV show and I notice the extras in the background, I actually watch them more than I do the real actors, because I kind of get caught up on, I wonder if they're going to really stay in character back there. Every once in a while, you can actually see some of the extras goofing around. Yeah, you ever know what I'm talking about? I'll watch them in the background like, you know, they're just there because they know somebody in the production team or whatever, and they're pretending to eat their food or whatever, and every once in a while you'll catch one in the background doing something that they shouldn't do. Anyway, that's free, no charge. That's the grace of God. There it is, right there. That's what you really came to find out here tonight. Number one thing we need to know is grace should grow. Grace should grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, go down to verse 17. Folks, is there anyone that could admit here tonight that you don't have all the grace that you will ever need yet? Is there anyone that could admit that? I've got good for news for you. You're normal. All right? Because you don't have all the grace that you're going to need yet. I don't have all the grace yet. Grace is something that should be growing within us at all times. All right. So if you feel like, well, Pastor, I have not arrived with grace yet. Well, guess what? I got good news for you. No one has. All right. Except Jesus himself. It is an ongoing process, but we should be growing in grace, not having grace deplete out of our lives. All right. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. I wrote this down in my notes. I said, grace grows. It does not stagnate. Have you ever felt stagnant in your spiritual life? Yeah. Okay, good news for you. You're normal. Everyone has gone through that. All right. Have you ever just felt stuck, you know, spiritually, or just felt like you're just not going anywhere with God, or you're not doing anything significant for him, or just feel like you've kind of run out of, you know, motivation, you know, to serve the Lord? Have you ever dealt with that? Yeah. Have you ever gone through a test of indifference? Yeah. Sometimes we think the only trial in our life would be a trial of sickness or a financial trial. You know, have you ever just had to wrestle with thoughts and feelings of just feeling indifferent towards God? Well, guess what? That's because you have, you know, human flesh. And I have human flesh. And we'll deal with that at times. Listen, you got to remember, stop living by what you feel. Feelings come and go like the weather. You know, what if you had to gauge all your life by just what the weather was doing around here? You'd have no clue. Stop living by what you feel. Start living by what you believe. Because what you believe doesn't have to change. It will actually change everything else around you. Here in 2 Peter, Peter here is talking about people who do not understand the scriptures. And you can find that out by reading the verses above it. But he's talking about people that don't understand scriptures. And actually above, he talks about people that don't understand Paul the Apostle's writings. And you can look at that later. But this is what he says in verse 17. He says, "You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things ahead of time, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Wow. How many of you know you can be a steadfast believer and fall from that? Wow. All right? You could go through a temptation. He's talking about people that neglect the word of God. Here they are steadfast at one point in their life. They're faithful. They're pursuing God. They're giving God their best. And all of a sudden, they get away from this. They no longer feed on the word of God, and they can fall from steadfastness. I don't know about you. I don't want that to describe me. All right. If you've ever taken a fall out of your steadfastness, there's good news. You can get back. You can get back. Look at verse 18. You can tell what he's talking about here. He says, but grow in grace. Because to fall from steadfastness is to recede or to deplete in grace. So when he's talking in verse 17, he said, you know, they can fall from their steadfastness, meaning that grace waned in their life. Remember, grace is the ability to do something for God. Grace is the ability to stay faithful to Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you a couple more definitions for grace. This word right here in verse 18. Are you ready for the definition of this word? It means the divine influence upon the heart. I like that. The divine influence upon your heart. How much does the cross of Jesus Christ influence your heart? It should every day. Amen. It means literally the divine influence upon the heart that is reflected in your decisions, your choices, and your priorities. All right? You can see when grace is active upon a believer because they have the right priorities. You know, the Word of God is their priority. Winning souls is their priority. Prayer is their priority. The local church is their priority. You can see it on them. They've got their priorities right. That's called grace. Grace captured their heart. The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ is so real, they've got to do something for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. They got to obey Him. They want to obey Him. The divine influence upon the heart that is reflected in your decisions, choices, and priorities. The word grace here, it also means this. Are you ready? It means to choose a lifestyle of gratitude. I love that. You're just so thankful for what the Lord did for you. You want to obey Him. Oh, I'm going to serve. I'm going to grow. I'm going to build His church because that's what's important to Him. I'm going to love on His people because that's what's important to Him. I'm going to serve because that's what's important to Him. I'm going to tithe because that's what's important to Him. Has grace got your heart here tonight? Yeah. Amen. Choosing a lifestyle of gratitude in the light of God's undeserved mercy through the cross of Christ. In the light of His undeserved mercy through the cross, it has absolutely gotten a hold of you. That's what happened to me at 23 years of age. The grace of God got on my life because I absolutely got captured by His undeserved mercy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice this. He says this, but grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Whose responsibility is it to grow in grace? That's our job. We have this idea that grace is just something that God might randomly give you. You know, like we get this idea like, well, you know, maybe you won the God lottery today and you'll get more grace. Folks, if we're not careful, we start to get this idea that the grace of God is just given to make our life easier. The grace of God isn't given to make our life easier. It's given to make our lives more faithful. Do you understand the difference? You know, sometimes we think, well, grace was given to me. Everything just became easy. Well, so what does that mean if all of a sudden you went through a challenge? Did the grace just leave you because you're going through a challenge? If we're not careful, we think that grace will just come and go by how good or easy something's going. You know, and I joke about it all the time, the favor of God. You know, the word grace is actually another one definition of grace is the favor of God. You know, how many of you know the Bible says that we are favored through His blood? But sometimes Christians, we get such a fickle understanding of favor. We think if we just get our favorite parking spot, the favor of God. Someone bought me lunch, favor of God. So what does that mean if you don't get your favorite parking spot? Does that mean the favor of God left you? The favor of God belongs to you. Whether you're going through a great day or a very challenging day, the grace of God is active in your life, whether you're having the best day of your life or the toughest day of your life. Grace doesn't, you know, just leave you because things got harder. Grace isn't to make life easier. It's to make life more faithful. There's a difference. If you think being faithful to God, it automatically makes everything easier in life, I'm here to tell you, you're deceived. Boy, that went over well. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, actually, you could say it this way. When grace is active on your life, you put the right priority forward, regardless of how hard it is to do so. You could see when the grace of God is on somebody's life, they just keep being faithful even when they're challenged, even when they're going through a trial. They just still love God. They still serve God. That's grace. It is our responsibility to keep grace in an ever-being state of growth. Notice, grace should always be growing in our lives. It should never be receding or depleting. Grace is something that we should be growing in. Folks, but why is it in the body of Christ there's more Christians doing less now for God than they did in the past? That's because grace is depleting. Because unfortunately, we're getting a hold of the wrong definition of grace. We thought that grace would just make everything easier. We thought that grace would just be, you know, God just overlooking, you know, what we want to do, and we'll just have it our way. That's not what grace is. Are you here tonight? Yes. Grace should be in a constant state of growth in our lives. Grace should be building in our lives, not depleting. Now listen to this. Here's the reason why grace depletes or recedes in someone's life. If grace has receded in your life, which we all confessed to a while ago that we've all been through those moments. You ever just, you know, been honest with yourself at times and say, man, you know, there's just a little bit of, I've allowed a little grace to deplete, you know, or to recede out of my life. If grace has receded in your life, all of a sudden you just want, you know, nothing to do with obeying God, or you've allowed that grace, or you've gotten away from His Word, you've gotten away from obedience, you've gotten away from church, you've gotten away from all these things of God. If grace is depleting, or if you are struggling to stay interested in God or the things of God, many times it's because we are serving something that is not giving grace in return. Let me say that again. If you find yourself struggling to stay interested, or you're struggling to stay faithful in God or the things of God, many times is because we are serving something else with our faithfulness, and those other things are not returning any grace to us. Does that make sense? Can I bring up a verse, brother? Could you bring up Proverbs 27 and verse 7? See, this is a verse that kind of touches on this idea that if we're not careful, you know, we'll lose our hunger for God. See, when the grace of God is on you, you get hungry for Him, you know? And when you realize you've lost your hunger for Him, you better stir yourself up, all right? You say, well, Pastor, I'm in church. That means I'm hungry for God. Listen, folks, it is very easy. We can go to church and not be hungry for God. Sometimes we're going through the motions, not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying it's possible that we just get in the motions of church and we fail to really be hungry for God. This is what Proverbs 27:7 is talking about. It says, a full soul loathes a honeycomb. See, that's interesting, because a honeycomb, in reference here in the Old Testament, that was their dessert. All right. Meaning, you could say it in modern language like this. Someone who's stuffed full already doesn't want a piece of cake. Wow. Right? That, right? But let's all confess. How many of you know sometimes eating a piece of cake isn't a matter of being hungry or not, right? Right? But this is what he's saying. If you're so full, which we can relate to that, where you just don't want anything else, no matter how good it is. A full soul loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. This is talking about our hunger for God and our hunger for His things. When you're hungry for God, even the challenging side of the Word makes you happy. Oh, I'm hungry for God. Oh, God tells me to tithe. Well, glory to God. Happy to do it. Oh, I'm hungry for God. Oh, you mean spend time in prayer? Oh, I don't care. I want to do it. Oh, you mean forgive somebody that hurt me? I don't care, I'll do it. See, when you're hungry for God, even the most challenging things in the Word. See, hunger for Him is evidence of grace on your life. If all of a sudden you're just not hungry for Him, it's because somewhere you got hungry or full on something else. Oh, are you here tonight? Folks, it's easy to do. Life is so busy. We've got jobs. We've got kids. We've got, you know, activities and all this stuff that we've got bills to pay, all this stuff that we have to do. And then how easy is it to get full on something else in life? And the next thing you know, we're so full on other parts of our life, we're just not hungry for God anymore. Because if we put the attention on other things that was meant for God, right? Those other things don't return any grace. They actually steal it. And all of a sudden, you know grace has receded out of your life when all of a sudden there's just no desire to serve God, no desire to pray, no desire to give, no desire to serve in the church. This is why the modern church is suffering, because they're full on too many other things. It's very, very possible. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's our responsibility to keep grace growing. Amen. Listen, I have found myself. Every minister I know has found themselves. Every Christian I know that is honest with themselves will find themselves inadvertently or sometimes even intentionally full on other stuff in life. You know? And we get full on other stuff and we realize I've put other things in front of God. If that's the case, just confront yourself and deal with it. And that grace will return. Oh, hello. Yes, just because we have kids doesn't mean that the kids should choose the direction of the family, right? Kids can take us, and it sounds almost, you know, terrible to say, especially on Mother's Day. How many of you know it's very easy? You know, I know we've got several young families here. You know, I'd like to throw myself into that mix. I've got teenage boys at home. It's very easy to allow kids to determine the direction of the home, meaning what they want to do, all their hobbies, all their things, which they should have hobbies and should have things they enjoy. But the question is, are they getting in front of the things of God? All right. Just because we have jobs doesn't mean that we allow our need for a salary to interfere with what's sacred to Him. Are you here? Don't allow your kids to get in the way of serving the Lord. Kids don't determine the direction of the home. The parents determine the direction of the home. You know, a job or a paycheck does not determine the direction of the home. Anything in our home, I don't care if it's from my boys, I don't care if it's in my life or where it comes from. You know, the first question that we always ask is it going to interfere with God's plan? Does it get in the way of going to church? Does it get in the way of what the Lord has spoken to us to do? You know, I tell my family on a regular basis, I said, we are a God family. You know, we are a God family, and that is how we're going to be known, and that's what we're going to do. And if that means we got to give up some things to be faithful, praise the Lord. Folks, let me know, grace has got to grow. If God's got a bigger role for you, you're going to have to step up into a bigger level of grace. Hello. If you want to step out from being an extra and play a more significant role in the kingdom of God, grace is going to have to grow. The full soul. Boy, there's several times that verse, you know, spoke about me where I realized, oh, I've got other things in my life. And you know what? God's good. He'll let you know if you ask Him. Oh, my goodness. Be prepared. If you start asking, Lord, show me the things. What am I full of? We better watch how we word that. Right? Lord, what are the things that I have filled my life with so much that's depleting the grace on my life? As a pastor, I can't get away with it. Anytime I start to allow other things to creep in, you know, because I'm always seeking the Lord and He'll let me know, don't do that. If you want to play a role, you're going to have a higher, there's a price to pay. But Lord, I wanted to do that. Yeah, that's not my plan for you. But Lord, I want to do that. Sorry, you can't do that. Lord, I wanted to have that. Get rid of it. Yep. Amen. That's just God making sure you're not full of something else. Here's the second thing. Are you ready? Here's the second thing we're going to need to know if we're going to play a bigger role for God. Go to Acts chapter 4. Go to Acts chapter 4. Boy, this is something here. Is the grace upon us all? We're going to find out. Because out of this passage over here in Acts chapter 4, that's where I get the title of this sermon. Here's the second thing that we need to know. Grace steps out and grace steps up. Grace steps out, grace will step up. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. How many of you remember this chapter? John and Peter were just released from jail. How many of you remember this? Remember they were beaten and threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus? And of course they weren't going to listen to that. And remember they came back to their own company in verse 23 and they all lifted their voice and they started to pray all together. Remember this? Why did the heathen rage? Why did the kings imagine vain things? Remember this prayer? You know? And now at the end of their prayer, they're still praying. Here they were just faced with prison. Their lives are being threatened if they stay faithful to the Lord. And they all say this. And remember, there's actually many people praying here. And they say, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness that we would speak the word. Yeah, that's what they wanted. They said, I know this might land us in jail. This might cost us our livelihood, but I'd rather have boldness to be faithful to God and lose my home and my living than to not have boldness and speak the word. That's awesome. That's the grace of God right there. Do you see their hunger? Do you see the grace on them? Yeah. He says this, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness that we would speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Everyone say shaken. Where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. All right. So now you can say they're having a revival here. Can we go down to verse 31? Praise the Lord. It says, they spoke the word of God with boldness. Can we go to verse 31? There it is. Hallelujah. The place where they prayed was shaken. That means this is a miraculous thing that is going on. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Go to verse 32. How do you know that they were filled with the Spirit? It says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what? Great grace was upon them all. Folks, that is the description of this early church now. He says, they were literally, the place that they were sitting was shaken by the power of God. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and great grace was upon them. All right. Now, what do I mean? When great grace is upon you, grace steps out and grace steps up. Go to the very next verse. Go to verse 34. Here's what I'm trying to get to. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Folks, imagine the grace that was on these people. All of a sudden they started to get so hungry for God, they started to sell off personal properties. They started to give to God. And that doesn't mean you got to run out tonight and sell your home and give it. You understand. But do you see the grace that was on them? Yeah. Folks, why do we think that grace means that, you know, we do less for God? When grace gets a hold of somebody, miraculous things start to happen. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You could say it this way. Grace makes you willing to put yourself at risk to grow God's kingdom. They said, we don't care if we go to jail. We want his grace. We don't care if it gets us in trouble. We want his grace. We don't care what we own. If we have to sell it to obey God, we'll do it. We don't care what we lose. We don't care what we get disattached from. Do you see this grace that was on the early church? Yes. See, the modern day church is praying for a revival of miracles when we should be praying for a revival of grace. The reason why modern day church is not walking in the kind of miracles that the early church did is because we're not walking in the kind of grace that they were walking in. You had a group of people that were willing to die for the Lord, sell their homes for the Lord, give to anyone around them that had need. Are you here tonight? Do you see this grace? I'll tell you what, when grace gets a hold of you, you step out. You step up. You don't care if it risks you. You don't care if it takes your time. You don't care if it takes your money. Oh, you can say it this way. Grace ate up their selfishness. Grace just ate it up. All of a sudden, they had all things common. They just cared about the people that were around them. All of a sudden, grace ate up their greed. Boy, it sure is quiet in here tonight. Come on, you're in church on a Saturday night. You're scoring points, right? Especially with a beautiful weather out there. Grace ate up their selfishness. Grace ate up their own personal greed. Grace ate up any differences that they had with each other. They had all things common. They just loved each other. They loved giving to God. They loved serving God. Amen. Glory to God. Grace just ate up the differences they had. Grace ate up any offense that they had with one another. Grace ate up any rebellion that they had. Grace ate up any excuse not to serve God fully. Grace just ate it up. The modern day church does not need a revival of miracles as much as it needs a revival of grace. When is God's people going to get back to that place where they're hungry for God? Get back to that place where they seek Him and are willing to do whatever it takes. Not just acting like professional Christians, showing up, going through the motions, but really allowing grace to just get a hold of us. Where we throw ourselves before God and say, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you need of me, whatever your plan is for me. Amen. I wrote this down in big letters in my notes. Miracles will start to take place when the grace gets into the hearts of God's people again. When they throw off that modern divergent definition of grace and pick up the Bible definition of grace. Miracles will start to happen when the people long to do more for God and not look for reasons why they're unavailable to Him. Ooh. Say, Pastor, folks, I know we all go through this, but this is what grace does. And I'm not saying you're not walking in it. I'm not saying I'm not walking in it. I'm just saying that there's a lot of opportunities not to walk in it, so that's why I'm preaching it. There's been such a warning by the Holy Spirit to let people know, you know, to get into His grace. It doesn't mean God's mad at you or you're going to be lost or something like that. But get moving for God. The time is short. There's souls waiting on us. Amen? This will bring more souls into the kingdom. I'll tell you what, I got a message today from a man in our Jamestown church, and he was telling me how his best friend growing up is now getting water baptized. This friend of his, they were both, rebellious young people and had, drank and partied real heavily together and all this stuff was going on. And when this gentleman who's in the Jamestown church, when he got saved, his friend did not, want to, follow the Lord. But over the course of many years, this friend just kept seeing this man's faithfulness and his heart and the grace of God. And finally, after all these years, that friend got born again and now is being water baptized on June 1st. And now he's being baptized in another church. And they asked if the man in the Jamestown church would join him and help baptize him. See, folks, how does that work? That friend of his saw grace on his life, saw somebody serving God with all of their heart. Amen. I tell you what, our friends and relatives need to see someone serving the Lord. Amen. Not saying that you're not. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Grace is upon us all. All right. Praise the Lord. How do you stir grace? How do you stir it up? How do you kind of reignite that? I'll tell you what. Number one, the word grace means thankfulness. All right. Starting to actively thank the Lord and to praise the Lord. You know, literally taking that time, you know, in your private life. Folks, are you going before God to thank Him? I mean, going before Him, Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. There's a verse. Help me out back there. Try John chapter 1 and try verse 16 in the Amplified. I love this verse. I wasn't planning on preaching on it. Talk about a verse about grace. You ever seen this? Actually, can you start by bringing it up in the King James? Because this is probably what we're most familiar with. Yeah. And of Jesus' fullness have we all received grace for grace. What does it mean to receive grace for grace? Can you bring it up in the Amplified now? Watch this. This is a scholarly rendition of this Greek verse. It says, for out of His fullness, out of His abundance, we have all received. We all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Do you believe that that's what the Lord has given to you? Yes. Amen. I believe that He has given me favor upon favor, blessing upon blessing, gift upon gift. If you'll believe that verse, if you believe that that's what the Lord will, you know, has done for you, get in and tell Him that. Father, You have blessed me, you know, with all spiritual blessings in Christ. I have nothing good without You. Are you getting a hold of this here tonight? Here's another way that you stir up grace. The Bible says that He gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. Remember that? Amen. He gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. Folks, we're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to humble ourselves in prayer. We're going to have to go to Him, and we're going to have to submit our will before His will. We're going to have to pray like Jesus prayed, Lord, not my will be done, but Your will be done. Are you here tonight? Amen. This is how we stir up that grace. We humble ourselves. We thank Him. We praise Him. And now third and finally, here's a third thing that you need to know. Number one, praise the Lord, grace should always be growing. Two, grace steps up and steps out. Do something for the Lord that you have been lacking to do in your life. Humble yourselves. Folks, we understand when we hear this message, it isn't an indictment saying you're not doing it. It's to encourage us to grow in grace. Amen. Here's a third and final thing. We're still in Acts chapter 4. Boy, the Holy Spirit really said this to me out loud, you know, when it came to this third point. Grace is the opposite of rebellion. Grace is the opposite of rebellion. You're in Acts chapter 4. Go down there to verse 35. We're back over here in Acts 4:35. Remember how they were selling their lands? Remember how they were, you know, growing in that grace, that doctrine of the apostles? And it says that they took the price of these things that they had sold. They laid it at the feet of the apostles, their special messengers. This is in the Amplified. This will work good. It says, then distribution was made according as everyone had need. Folks, there's a lot more going on in that verse than we realize. Folks, notice that these people that had this great grace upon them, they were not rebellious. Folks, one of the indicators that we are not walking in grace is that we're rebelling against leadership. We rebel against the way God does things. Boy, that went over well. Praise the Lord. Grace is the opposite of rebellion. Grace was upon them, and they trusted their leadership. Oh boy, That's exactly what was going on. I'm not preaching this for myself. I have leadership myself. Grace was upon them. The leadership of their church was solid. They had good doctrine. And under this grace, they did a work together, both leadership and the people. Do you see that? These people, under grace, they understood the importance of divinely appointed leadership. Folks, how many of you know this money wasn't for the apostles? They weren't giving the apostles money. They weren't trying to worship the apostles. The apostles didn't want to be worshiped. They weren't trying to control the people or trying to dictate the people's lives. Grace was in control, right? Grace was in control, and it created a proper balance. They sought to help leadership do God's will, not resist them. Wow. Did everyone get a hold of that last part? Grace will teach us to help leadership, not resist them. Isn't it interesting? Why did they bring that to the apostles? They could have sold, that was their money. They sold it and everything. They brought it and then distribution was made. Why didn't those people just go distribute it the way they wanted? Because they trusted their leadership. Because grace was on them and it wasn't what they were doing on their own. It was what they were doing together as a church. Amen. Grace was in control. It created the proper balance. They sought to help leadership do God's will, not resist leadership. Modern believers have been taught and conditioned to be suspicious of leadership. And again, it's robbing grace. Folks, yes, unfortunately, we live in a day and a time when there's a lot of problems with this. You know, we've seen entire church groups, you know, entire, you know, huge, you know, religious organizations, abuse that has been, you know, wrought at the hands of church leaders and so on. Yeah. But folks, yes, obviously something like that needs to be dealt with. It needs to be disciplined and things like that. But the point that is being made here, that when there's grace upon God's people, they do something together. You know what I mean? You know, we live in a day and a time where our modern society is so conditioned. We start to, you know, question and get suspicious, and go after leadership and to resist them. Folks, I'm here to tell you that once we know if God has his way, if God's design is the local church, we need to support that and help that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this here tonight? Number one, grace grows. It does not stagnate. Grow in grace. Is there anybody that has fully arrived in grace here tonight? Nope, not me, not you. We need more. We need to grow. Praise the Lord, right? Secondly, grace steps up. Grace steps out. What are you going to do to put yourself, if it takes, putting yourself under, to put God over? Grace steps out. Miracles will start taking place when God's people start walking in this grace. Folks, has grace captured your heart? Is your heart established in this grace? I believe it. Amen. This is a real faithful church. And then thirdly, boy, this point, you know, was literally spoken out. It was like the authoritative voice of God. Grace is the opposite of rebellion. Amen. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Folks, if we're going to play a bigger role for the things of God, these things are going to need to be known in our lives. We're going to need to address these things. Praise the Lord. God has a bigger role for you to play. Don't be an extra in the background. Praise the Lord. That's my message, and I'm sticking to it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we say that your grace has captured our hearts. The divine influence upon our heart to serve you and to put you first. Lord, you are faithful and you are good. Lord, I refuse to be an extra. I refuse to just look like I'm doing something normal. Father God, I want to be on the front line. Father, I want to be building your church. I want to be bringing souls into the kingdom. I want to be teaching your people. I want to be loving upon them. Father God, I want divine assignments. I want you to trust me, Lord, and lead me. in whatever way builds your kingdom the best with the gifts that you've given in my life. Father, we just praise you tonight. Father, we glorify you. Lord, you've given us grace upon grace, favor upon favor, blessing upon blessing. We just humble ourselves. Lord, if we've gotten too full of everything else in life, if we've allowed other things to dominate all that we do, and then we have no time to serve you. Lord, you said that a full soul loathes a honeycomb, but to a hungry person, every bitter thing is sweet. Father, we know we want to be hungry for you, that grace to be hungry for you. Glory to God. Grace will step out, step up. Yeah. Grace is not rebellious. Father, we see the great grace that was upon the early church. Miracles happened. Miracles of giving, miracles of serving, miracles of healing. All because grace had captured the hearts of those people. Father, I ask in this church for every soul within the sound of my voice that grace would just erupt in their hearts. Yeah. Father, grace would get a hold of their hearts. It'll break addictions in their life. Father, I thank you that grace will get a hold of their hearts and they'll step out and they'll serve you in a greater measure than they ever have. They'll give to you in a greater measure than they ever have. Lord, you are faithful and good. So, Father, we just thank you. We praise you for your wonderful mercy on that cross. Thank you, Lord. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss here tonight, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally received that undeserved act of mercy that Jesus provided on that cross? The Bible says over there in Romans 10:9, it says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says over there in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love for us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's grace. That's the mercy of God. He saved us when we didn't deserve it. And so now, we got to ask ourselves, now that we are saved, what are we going to do with our lives to show him how much it means to us? If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to, you know, make you come down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or anything like that. But if you're here tonight and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you're not sure, if today was your last day on this earth, if you'd be in heaven or hell, I'll tell you what, get sure right now. Go ahead and take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What I'm going to do, if that's you, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead the entire church in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can pray that prayer to the Lord, and you can invite him into your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice who've never made Jesus your Lord? I know that we have a room filled with Christians here tonight. You know, maybe you hear this message and you feel like, man, Pastor, you know, that's me. I'm full on other stuff. I need greater grace. I want to walk in that greater grace. I want to break out of that. I want grace to grow. I need to put some things behind me and move forward. If that's you and you'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord, could you lift your hand now? Is there anyone here that would like to rededicate? I see that hand and that hand and that hand. You can put them down. God loves you. Is there anybody else that would just say, yes, tonight's the night I'm going to just confront some things in my life. Just make sure that I'm walking as faithful as I can. Folks, I don't say this to scare anybody, but the time is short. Whether Jesus comes tomorrow or even if we live a full long life on this earth, time goes fast. Time is short. We get one life here. Let's use it for the Lord. He used it for us. Glory to God. Well, we had several hands. Glory to God. Why don't we all just take this time, this moment, to consecrate ourselves? Father, we just praise you. Lord, even standing here right now, you are faithful and good to deliver our correction. Lord, even as I stand here, I see in my life the areas that I could pursue in a greater measure. Lord, I thank you for that. I receive it. Father, you're so faithful and good. You're not trying to beat us down. You're trying to pull us up. Oh, Lord, you are so faithful. Lord, we love you and praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just take this moment. I'm not going to lead you in the prayer. You can consecrate yourselves right there in your seat. I just know that the Lord's dealing with hearts. He's pulling us up. God wants to use you in a greater role. He's so faithful to tell us that. Clearly, he's pleased with you. Do you know that? Just because we got to grow in some things doesn't mean that God isn't pleased. Doesn't mean that all of us have our every I dotted and every T crossed. He's well pleased with so many of you in here. He's well pleased. If he's letting you know some areas you need to grow in, that's just his goodness. Father, I thank you tonight. We just thank you and praise you. You are faithful and good. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet. Did you get some help here tonight? Oh boy, I'm going to have to ask you again, I think. Did you get some help here tonight? Yeah, amen. Well, let's just go ahead and let's give God all the praise and glory. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, we want to just claim it by faith. Great grace is upon us all. Great grace is upon your people. Because our hearts are captured and established and fixed by your grace, your goodness, your overwhelming generosity towards us. And Father, we're just going to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.